start in the second, be in the second chapter today. And we had spent quite a bit of time on Hannah, and I think it was an important, good study. I think we learned some things concerning principles from Hannah that was tremendous, especially about prayer, especially about dedication of children to the Lord. I think it's really interesting as you look at Hannah, and as this kind of came to my mind as I was reading in 1 Samuel, was you notice you have there a parent and a child dedication to God. Not only did Hannah, and I believe the father was involved in this too. He was a regular, he went to the temple, he did all these things, but she was the prominent one that was taking care of him and getting him prepared for service. But you'll see a dedication from Hannah of her child to God. But then as we get ready to move into the story of Samuel, you see a complete dedication of Samuel also to the Lord. And to me, that's important. And the reason I guess I'm stating that is sometimes I think parents will certainly want to see their children used of God. They dedicate them to the Lord. They have this great desire, and you know, to bring them to the Lord and let God use them. And but not always does the children follow through with that. Not always do they do what you know that you have desired for them to do. I guess I'm saying it. But here you have complete dedication from Hannah for her child, and then turn right around, and from Samuel the child, dedicating himself to God and being used of God at a very, very young age. So I think that's, to me, it's very, very, very interesting. But you'll notice in second chapter, the 11th verse, and Elkanah went to Ramah to his house, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. And I read that verse of scripture, and I'm going to go ahead and read one more, verse 18. And Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. The reason I went ahead and read just those two verses, there's actually three more verses in not only chapter 2, but in chapter 3 there's one. But it talks and calls him a child. And the reason I think that it's important that God put that in there is he's showing us at a very young age, this young man came to the Lord and was dedicated to God at a very young age. So we don't want to ever, and I don't think anybody in here does, but we don't ever want to get to the idea that, you know, they got to get on up here before they can dedicate themselves to God. No, this is the proper procedure right here. You see him doing so as a child, being dedicated unto God, certainly by his parents, but also then him himself dedicating himself, and as a child being used of God as a child. That's a tremendous blessing. So again, I guess we just kind of wanted to make mention of that. You see at a very young age, and we see it around here too. We see young children that are dedicated to the Lord. They've said, God, I want you to use me. And as we'll discuss here in a few moments, they're continuing then to grow in the Lord. They're getting prepared. They're getting ready to be used of God. And that's a marvelous thing, and that's what we see here in the life of Samuel. If you'll notice in verse number 11, the Bible says that, and the child did minister unto the Lord before Eli the priest. I don't know all the things that Samuel was doing, but he was ministering unto the Lord there. And when I call that the temple, it's referred to the temple here. We know it's a tabernacle, but it was the tabernacle that was put a little more on a permanent basis. It was settled. The temple hadn't been built yet, but the tabernacle was placed there, and it was built in a little more permanent basis. We find him dedicating himself and being used as he ministers unto the Lord. And I don't know all the things that he did, but I think that more than likely he became Eli's helper, I guess I might say. Eli's was there. He was the high priest, and I'm sure he did things for him. I don't know if he lit some of the candles. I don't know whether he held some of the what I call the snuff dishes there on all that. I don't know whether he went and opened and closed the doors. I know he did open the doors in verse 15 of chapter 3. It says, and Samuel lay until the morning and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. And Samuel feared to show Eli the vision. You notice here, he got up in the morning and he went and opened the doors of the house of the Lord. I don't know all that he did, the Bible doesn't tell us, but he was used there to minister. The things that he could do as a young child, that he could do, God used him for. One of the things was opening the door of the house of God. Maybe he, of a night, was given instructions, and maybe he was used to go over and close the doors. You know, that don't seem like much, but I think what we've got to remember is God does not look at just the bigness of the task. It's the little things that God looks at before we can ever be given the bigger things. I mean, it's a good thing when we see some of our young men back here handing out bulletins, when we see them holding a door to the house of God. Brother Klein's boy, Kyle, does a lot on taking the food out to the food pantry. He takes the chariot out there and unloads it into the, you know, we think about those things, but those in God's eyes are preparation and is very, very important to the work of God and very important in that child's life because he's learning to be a servant. Little Ethan on baptism, I don't do much of the baptism anymore. Pastor Jerry does that. I ask him to. But little Ethan, he'll come there and he'll stand and wait for the towel. He always stood right outside the door there where I changed clothes, and he'd wait for the towel that I used, and I'd throw the towel out to him, you know, there, and he'd take the towel and take it down, put it in the bag that they had ready. Well, that's important. That's important. Those are seemingly little things, and there's a lot of things, I believe anyway, that there's people who do around this church that most of you may not even know about them. You know, you sit here and you don't, Renus Wagner's sitting back there, but you don't see Renus much. He's back here a lot, in and out. He goes out that side door and walks clear around, comes in that door back there and sits back there because he's one of the sound men. Him and David do the sound men for us. But you don't see him a lot doing those things, but how important is that? And I'm not trying to leave anybody out. I hope you understand that. I'm just trying to point out a few things. The little tasks are important. Amen? You won't get the job done if you don't have these little tasks. And here, as a child, he was being taught the little tasks, the little things that we would maybe refer to as little. And he was learning how to do them, so that one of these days that God could put upon him greater responsibility, became a prophet of God, was used of God tremendously, judged Israel. I think probably the best judge of Israel, the last one, probably the best, was used. But he was prepared from a very early age. And that's important, that we prepare our young people at a very early age. That's why we work so hard. You know, when I go out and visit and I talk to people, I tell them, you need to get your children in and get them trained now. You need to get them under teaching. Them thing of things don't happen overnight. And I explain to them, we have Sunday school classes that we start with and bring them in to Sunday school class and teach them some things of God. And I tell them, we have master's clubs on Wednesday night trying to step up the teaching and trying to help them. Then we move them into our youth program. They get up seventh grade. They moved into our youth program and begin to be taught. And hopefully they'll come into our school and learn and grow through the school as they're prepared to serve God Almighty. You see, that's important. And in those ministries, they learn the small tasks, the small things, so that one of these days they can have proper, bigger responsibilities. So Samuel started there. I think of, when I think of things like this, I'm always reminded of Mary with the alabaster box of Spikenard, special, precious ointment. And as she brought it to Jesus and anointed his feet, dried his feet with her hair, and how the Lord said of her, she did what she could. Now, most would not give much credence to her coming in and taking an alabaster box and breaking it. I think in a sermon I told you, God uses broken things. And the box was broken so that ointment could come out. She broke it and put it, and some wanted to demean her for this. Would have been better if we sold the ointment, Judas says. But no, the little small task, and Jesus said she did what she could. There's a lot of times we do what we can. Amen? We do what we can. And that's what little children do. Little children do what they can, and they learn, they grow, you see. I think we try to be careful. Now, just bear with me a minute. Try to be very careful the way we upgrade here on singing. We've got Brother Brewer deals with our children's church, and our children's choir, and does a good job with them. We want them to be taught as an early age how to sing. But we try to be very careful at what age we place them in prominence to stand up here and sing. Now, we do that on purpose. It isn't that I don't think young children can get up and sing, but let me tell you something. Many, many times, if you don't be careful, the little young children not only do it, but people also do it in a way that they begin to smile and laugh at their, boy, look what they're doing. They haven't learned yet how to do it for the Lord yet. It's not their fault. They're growing. They're learning. That's why you want to be very careful, you see, how you respond to young children singing. Always tell them they did a good job. Tell them thank you for honoring the Lord, glorifying the Lord. But don't give them such a big head. Teach them that that is a privilege to get up and sing and honor our wonderful Lord in song. And they've done a good job in honoring the Lord. So again, it's just a matter of being very careful and teaching the young, teaching them how to serve God, how to do so at a very, very early age. And like I say, the little things are important. You notice in verse number 19 of chapter 2, it said, moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. You know, we've talked also in this, we're not sure how old he was, but I looked at it and I said she made him a little coat. So he wasn't a very big fella. At that time, she brought a little coat up to him, and she did this from year to year. He's a growing boy, and so he needed new clothing, and here was Mama still bringing things for him and supporting this young man as he was serving God. And I'd like to talk to you just a moment a little bit about that. Certainly, Mamas and Daddies want to support and help the young children and help them to grow and give them encouragement. That's proper. But I want to also say to you the importance for us to get behind those that are growing up and preparing to serve the Lord. For us as individuals to get behind them and be an encouragement to them as they prepare to serve God. That, I believe, is very, very important. You know, it may only be sometimes be, and let me say first of all, it doesn't always have to be money. A lot of times in our missionaries, we hear a lot about support, and usually that support is money support. But oh, there's much more to supporting our missionaries than just money. There is prayer needs to be offered up every single day for these people. And there's things that you and I can do with our missionaries, maybe a little note of encouragement or whatever it might be. Something can come from us to them, helping them, and that's what he did. She was doing here was helping him as he prepared and as he was serving God. She was continually helping him. But I don't think it ought to stop just with the parents. I think we need to look around at the children that's growing up here, young people that's growing up here, and look at them and say, you know, I can be a blessing in some way. I can be a blessing, and I can help them. Maybe it'll just be a word to them, an encouragement word, whatever it may be at that time. But we need to do that. All of us can do that. Don't put any of yourselves out. Don't say, yeah, I wish somebody would do that for my child. Now, we'll say, how about you? How about you? How about you doing that for others? Because I think it's important the support we give them. We have a young man tonight, one of the two young men that has, and I want to explain that, because we have quite a few young people who have surrendered to the Lord for full-time service. But many of them do not know yet what it is that God wants to use them for. And that's okay. They don't have to know that. That's not. But these two young men have stated they know they're called to preach. Ben, I know, has said that he believes God wants him to be a missionary. Justin has been called to preach. I don't know what for sure in what area, but he knows he's been called to preach. So we have a young man tonight. Ben did it last week, and Justin will do it tonight. Preach a 5 to 7 minute message. I'm going to probably do that every six to eight weeks. I don't know, but I want to prepare him. I want to help him get prepared to prepare a message and preach it, and getting a little bit used to being in front of people and delivering a message. But that's, to me, a way that this preacher can help them. But not only that, you can help them. You can be an encouragement to them. You can walk up to them. It's not a matter of bragging on them, walking up and saying, "Boy, I was," you know. But walk up and say, "Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for the message you gave us. And continue now. We're going to be praying for you." There's things that we can do, you see, to support those who are serving God. And that's what Hannah did here. She was supporting, of course, her son, but she was helping him as he was preparing to serve God. It may be sometimes just giving a ride to somebody to church. May I say something to you? I am reminding you of this, and I'm sure you are too from time to time, but I see them and I deal with them. But I look around at these young children and these young people in our church, and I say to myself, who am I preaching to? What is God going to use them for? Who are we helping to prepare? Scary. And a little, maybe we would call him a snot-nosed kid that we would look at him now and, but we say, what are they going to be? What kind word that I say right now to them will make a difference down the road? See, that's important. I went over and told 3 or 4 of the kids. I usually go through here and talk to them. I sat down and told them today. I said, "Hey, did you tell Mama you loved her this morning before you left?" A lot of them start giggling. I said, "Now listen, you go home tonight after Sunday school and you after church." And I said, "You tell her you love her." Oh, this boy went. And I said, "Now wait a minute. I'm not done. Don't you just tell her you love her?" I said, "Give her a big hug. And plant a kiss right there." And he went, "Oh." Like, "Oh my goodness, you're asking me the world." You know, but there's things, hopefully he will go home and say, "Mother, I love you." Whether he will or not, I don't know. But it's planted in his mind. Amen. We tried to implant that in his mind. But there's things that you can say and you can do and you can be to help those who are preparing. And that's exactly what Hannah was doing for her son. She was helping as he was prepared. I think we'll be held, you know, accountable for this. I think God will hold us accountable for the help that we are to others. I believe that. I think that he takes that into account on how we're not so self-centered, but others-centered, more concerned about the others. But anyway, all right, then you notice that Samuel also, in verse number 21 of chapter 2, he says, "And the Lord visited Hannah so that she conceived and bare 3 sons and 2 daughters, and the child Samuel grew before the Lord." Notice it says the child Samuel grew. Look in verse number 26. "And the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men." I think you notice here, and twice we see that here, that he was growing spiritually. This thing of getting prepared to serve God is not something that all at once you arrive at as a teenage year or a young man and all at once you say, "Oh, it's time for me now to get ready to serve God." No. You've been preparing from the very early age. You start down here, and the Bible was talking about how he grew in the Lord. Now, I certainly know he grew physically, but I don't think that's the emphasis. The emphasis is he grew in the Lord. And that's something that we need to see in our children and our young people as they grow. Continual growth. You see, and we ought to be able to see that. A lot of times I'll say this to our parents here in our church, our younger parents, especially who have little ones growing up. But I'll say to them, know the state of your flock. Is that child growing in the Lord? Not are they just growing physically. You can get a ruler and measure that. or get a scale and find out how much they weigh. But are they growing in the Lord? We need to keep track of their spiritual condition and see how they're growing as they come along. For that's what God said about this child. Samuel grew in the Lord. He was growing and became in favor unto God and man. You see, so I think it's very, 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 very important that as we see Samuel doing well, and folks remember something, just try to remember this. This is hard, and I think it's hard for me at times too, because I'm 61 years old. I'm not a young person, and I don't have a mind of a young person a lot of times. I'll tell my children sometimes. David asked me a question the other day, and I'll get off the subject here, but David asked me a question the other day about something, and it was a piece of property. He was just looking around, and so I went and looked at it, and I said, "Son, you got to remember something. I'm looking at that from 61-year-old eyes. All I see is work." That's exactly what I told him, and he laughed. But that is true. Now, as a younger man, I could look at that same piece of property and say, let's go. Yeah. Because he's got years to develop these things. I don't. And I look at it and think, wears me out looking at it. Amen? So let's remember the age of the children and how they're growing, and they will not be adults, and they will not think of us as adults, and they will probably make more mistakes, and although we make our mistakes, but they'll probably make more than we will, and we'll look at them and think, why did you do such a dumb thing? You just remember back a few years, so did you, and so did I. Amen? So what we're trying to do, though, at the same time, we don't want to excuse that and say, "Oh well, that's just a child." No, we want to help them grow, teach them, and train them, and help them to grow in the Lord. Amen. That's what Samuel was doing here. He was growing on a regular basis, growing. And so I say to you, keep a lookout for your children and your grandchildren, and watch them and see, are they growing in the Lord? Amen. It's important. So Samuel was helped there, and we see him growing, going forward. And again, if you notice, and I want to read that again, verse 26, the child Samuel grew on and was in favor both with the Lord and also with men. I want you to notice here, as he began to grow, he become under favor of the Lord and also men. And let me say to you, he put the Word of God puts the Lord first, came in favor with the Lord. Than with men. It's more important that they come in favor with the Lord than it is with men. But also, let me just stress this. It's very important what kind of men they come in favor with. Do they come under favor with men of God, men who love God, men who walk with God, or are they coming in favor with men who are reprobates? See, it's very important what kind of persons, people, that our children are coming into favor with. Amen? So Samuel here certainly was growing in the Lord. You notice, we still got some time. Notice in Samuel, the second chapter, you're going to find that most of this in this chapter was dealing with who Eli and his sons were. What kind of people were they? What was Eli? What kind of high priest was Eli? What kind of children did he have? And in this, there's comparison, I would say, between Samuel and what he was and what Eli's children was and even what Eli was. You'll find in this. And so in the midst of this, there's some things that is said about Samuel in the midst of him telling us about Eli and telling us about his sons and the wickedness of his sons. He's also telling us some things about Samuel in the midst of all this. So, in some of those verses I read to you, verse 11, verse 18, verse 21, verse 26, was those verses that he's given us an idea of what Samuel doing during this time. He's growing. What's he doing? Ministering unto the Lord. He's serving God. You see, he's getting ready. He's preparing. He's doing these wonderful things as a little young man. You see, and then gives the comparison of what Eli and his sons are doing and the wickedness of Eli's sons. So first of all, you'll notice in verse number 12 of chapter 2, it says, "Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord." Now, certainly they tells us two things there. But first of all, he tells us they were sons of Belial. The word Belial means worthless. They were sons of worthlessness. They wasn't any good. See, and the comparison is, the picture and the comparison is, here's Samuel serving God, growing in the Lord, doing right, coming along. Then here is the sons of Eli. First of all, they're like sons of Belial. They're worthless. They're no good. No good whatsoever for the work of God. Amen. So again, let me just say this, and I think you all know these things. I'm not giving you any new truths, but folks, listen. When you get older, and I wish the young adults was in here, but when you get older, and your children get older, you want to look back and you want to say they're serving God. No, they may not be everything. They may not be a preacher or missionary, but they're out there just serving God. They're just doing what God wants them to do. They're being faithful. They're in church every Sunday. You don't want to look back and you don't want to say, boy, they're sons of Belial. They're worthless. You see, you don't want that. And I don't want that for you. Well, a lot of that is going to determine, a lot of it, I said. I know, and remember this, I know, preacher knows, people make choices. Everybody makes a choice. You made a choice if you're going to serve God or not. You made that choice. They will make that choice. But you want to do everything you can to put into them the things that they need so that when they do have to make those choices, that they'll make the right choices. And I realize they still make the choice. Amen. I realize that. I understand that. But I'm just saying you want to do that. So they were sons of Belial. They didn't have any character. They lacked character whatsoever. In fact, it was just the opposite. They just didn't have any. They were characters, but they didn't have any character. Secondly, if you'll notice a very telling thing, at the end of verse 12, they knew not the Lord. He just simply makes a statement. They didn't know the Lord. They weren't saved. Amen? And so again, they were ignorant of the things of the Lord. Let me just state again. If you know this story, you understand that here was these two young men serving here in the Lord's work, doing supposedly the Lord's work. They were serving there in the temple. Okay? They were serving. Unsaved. Knew not God. See, this is a tragedy. And you know, the first prerequisite for serving God in church is salvation. Person not saved, they don't know, they don't have any reason to serve. They shouldn't serve. They have nothing to serve. And here they were serving, and yet unsaved. The Bible tells us they knew not the Lord. And here they was serving his church. And let me tell you something. And again, most of these things you know, but I want to remind you. There's churches all over America that's having all kinds of problems today because they've got people unsaved in positions of responsibility. You cannot run a spiritual church with people who are not saved. It's an impossibility. First thing a person must do is be saved. Honestly, I'm going to say this kindly. I wouldn't want an unsaved person coming in here and serving as a janitor in this church. I wouldn't want them to clean the commodes. You know why? That's service of the Lord. It is. That's service. And so I would want people who are saved, who had a concern about those things. Amen? So, I just believe it's important that we understand these were people who were serving when they should not have been serving, should not have been doing anything, and yet Eli allowed them to do that. All right, then also you'll notice they were greedy. Look at verse number 13. It says, and the priest's custom with the people was that when a man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he stuck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot, or that the flesh hook brought up the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh unto all the Israelites that came thither. I'm going to go ahead and read. And also before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said to the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. In other words, they put it in a big, what we'll call a big pan. I can just almost see them reaching down in there with them three tooth things and getting the meat out. Well, if it's cooked, all of it's not going to come out. Some of it's going to fall off the bones and things. And so what they was doing, they said, no, you give it to us before you even cook it. We want it fresh. We want it before it's cooked. Why? So they get more. They wanted more. See, I don't know. I'm just simply saying they were greedy. They didn't want to do it God's way. And so they were greedy, you see. And then also they were very intimidating. If you'll notice, not only did they do that, but in verse number 16, and if any man said unto them, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as his soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it before us. You see, they was intimidating. They said, no, you're going to do it our way. You're going to give it to us the way we ask, and if not, we're going to take it before us. You see, they intimidated God's people. These were sons of Belial. These were sons who did not care a thing about God or the things of God. All they was concerned about was the fleshly things that they could get. So we find that they was just downright cruel to the people. And not only that, in verse number 17, they were very, very bad examples. Verse 17 says, wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. Because of their wickedness and because of the way they acted, the Bible says men abhorred the work of the Lord. Folks, listen to me. It's so important how we live, so that people will not look down upon the work of God. You see, because when things are not going right and all over this country, and I suppose we wouldn't have to go very far to find some of this, you see this kind of immorality in churches. And because of that, a great, great, I don't know what word I want to use, but dearth has come against the church because of the actions of the so-called God's people. Because these people were not only greedy, they were not only bad examples, they had horrible morals. Horrible. Let me show you in verse number 24. Excuse me, 22. Now Eli was very old and heard all that his sons did unto all Israel and how they lay with the women that assembled at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. I'll try to speak with discreetness. But these were women that helped around the tabernacle. And the Bible says these two sons laid with them in an immoral sexual way. Horrible immorality. We hear of this on a regular basis from churches. Pastor Ross, our pastor, or usually it's a pastor many times, or a deacon. I've had him call me a deacon run off with this woman. Pastor took off. I know of more cases than I even want to even think about where pastors has had immoral actions with women of the church. It's horrible. That's immorality. And that's what they was doing. And because of that, it brought disgrace to the work of God. Amen. We as God's people must be upright. Amen. Above reproach. And in verse 24, because I got to close, verse 24, "Nay, my sons, for it is no good report that I hear. Will you make the Lord's people to transgress?" Eli just gave him a mild rebuke. But he said, "Don't you understand? This is not good what you're doing. You're causing God's people to transgress." Folks, there's more to it than you and I. It's the work of God. Amen? Because if we don't, we cause God's people to transgress. Amen?